today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to another edition of Family Talk. We are, frankly, I want to get this said right in the beginning, we're very, very concerned about a Proposition 106, and it's, of course, going to be voted on in November, right around the corner, and we're very, very concerned about what we see here. Think about it, write about it, put it in your permanent memory, and when you go into that ballot box, I hope that you will look for this proposition, and after you have met your other obligations on that day, vote no on Proposition 106. My guest today is Dr. Jenny Kraska. She's the executive director of the Colorado Catholic Conference, which is a public policy agency of the church. She earned her doctorate of law degree from the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota, and she's worked as a research attorney before moving to Colorado to take on her role on behalf of the Colorado Catholic Conference. Dr. Kraska, may I call you Jenny?
Jenny is great.
All right. It's a pleasure to have you here today. This was kind of a last-minute program that we put together because we began to be approached by, if you will, people who are concerned about Proposition 106. Let's start by you telling us what in the world it is.
Absolutely. Proposition 106 is an initiative here in Colorado that would legalize physician-assisted suicide in the state. And what it seeks to do is something that has been defeated in the legislature over the past couple of years. The people of Colorado, through their elected officials, have said no to this repeatedly. And now the group Compassion and Choices is seeking to pass this through a ballot initiative.
That's a misnomer anyway, isn't it?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah. Well, what's the meaning? What's the implication of it?
Sure. The implication of physician-assisted suicide in Colorado is varied. I mean, there's a lot of things that are dangerous about this proposition, and it has a lot of really dire consequences for Colorado if it were to pass. We've already seen some of those consequences in other states where this is legal. And I think one of the main things that we need to get across to people who are listening is what assisted suicide is and what it isn't. Many people believe that assisted suicide is simply going to a medical facility, getting a shot,
going to sleep. And that's not what it involves
at all. That's the furthest thing from what it involves. It is a prescription that you get from a doctor who does not have to be your own doctor. In fact, it doesn't have to be a doctor that even knows anything about your condition.
It could be a podiatrist.
Absolutely. There's nothing in this legislation that would prevent it from being a podiatrist, a hand surgeon, somebody who has no information about your illness or your loved one's illness.
Or even as a physician, really.
Right.
Yeah, so physician-assisted suicide is phony, too.
Right. It really comes down to somebody who is able to write a prescription in the state of Colorado, who's legally able to write a prescription according to our laws and rules. And so the danger in that, obviously, is we could go on in a whole segment just on the dangers of writing prescriptions for people that don't necessarily have any idea of what they're getting themselves into or who the doctor is or any of those kind of things. But I think the most dangerous aspect of this is people really not understanding what it does entail once you get that prescription. Once you get that prescription, you take it to a pharmacy just like you would any other prescription. It comes back to you in a fairly large bottle because it's 100 capsules. It's 100 capsules that you have to physically take home, break open into oatmeal, yogurt.
You don't have to swallow them. You just break them open and dump it out and put it in oatmeal or something.
Absolutely. Into something that you can consume. The danger, again, is, though, you have to be able to consume all of this medication, and you have to be able to do it very quickly, and you have to be able to self-administer it. So you have to be able to give it to yourself. It's not something that you know, your loved one can give to you. It's not something that can be given through a feeding tube, for example. It's something that you have to physically consume on your own, and you have to do so quickly because the drugs, once they take effect, they can have a lot of very dangerous side effects. And so some people we know in other states haven't been able to consume at all, so they haven't passed away quickly or at all. There's a lot of dangerous side effects to
taking
this.
So if you don't eat it fast, then you could be disabled or unable to continue.
Right.
And then you're really in a mess.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you have a lot of problems because then you're usually taken to a facility, a hospital. The ambulance is usually called, and you don't have the desired outcome of what you were attempting to do, which is to kill yourself.
A person could be in bad shape by the time they start to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They may be ill.
Right.
They may not be able to work their hands very well.
Mm-hmm.
They may be severely depressed.
Yes.
They may be and probably are in tears.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine the potential, Jenny, for elder abuse.
Oh, absolutely.
Describe the scope of elder abuse.
Sure. I mean, this is rife with the potential for elder abuse. One of the things that we know from other states is that oftentimes people will get this prescription and not take it. They want it there just in case things get really bad.
Yeah.
So now imagine that your loved one has this prescription or a relative has this prescription and you know about it. And let's say there's an inheritance issue that's coming up. Let's say there's just a lack of willingness to care for this individual as they continue to get sicker and sicker. What happens when there's that prescription sitting there in the medicine cabinet and somebody has ill intentions? Now, we'd like to hope that that's not the case, that families...
You know it
but,
is.
But we know it is, exactly. We absolutely know it is. And there is just an incredible amount of potential for abuse to take place. Why we would want to bring something like that to Colorado is truly beyond my comprehension. There's not a groundswell of people clamoring for assisted suicide in Colorado. This is an advocacy group who has the sole intention through, you know, very large amounts of money to get this passed in Colorado. And so I think to say that this is something people want is just not the case.
Let's go back to the funding.
Sure. Compassion and Choices is a national organization that used to be known as the Hemlock Society, and they operate nationwide. I mean, their target right now is Colorado, but they have really been behind every effort in the United States to legalize this in other states, and they will continue to do so regardless of what happens in Colorado.
George Soros is... Mm-hmm. Behind this.
Obviously, many people will know the Hemlock Society from the work of Jack Kevorkian.
Yes.
That's how we know that name and the Hemlock Society. They've now tried to have a kinder, gentler name with Compassion and Choices. And what we know from disclosures is that one of their main funders is George Soros.
His fingers are into every evil thing.
Yes, they really are.
An overstatement, but not by much.
Mm-hmm.
He helped fund the marijuana
initiative
here.
Correct.
And so many other things.
Yeah, he really does have his hands in a lot of pots that seem to have a very...
No pun intended.
Right, exactly. that does seem to have really dire consequences for the people in any state where this is ran, but right now for Colorado.
Mm. You mentioned an inheritance. Money is behind so many of these initiatives. And in this case, imagine a son and his wife or a daughter and her husband taking care of an elderly woman, a mother, we will say.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ill and it's messing up their life to do this.
Right.
I know that this is not the usual situation, but it can occur.
Absolutely.
And then here you get an opportunity to send mom on into the next life and not have to take care of her anymore.
Exactly.
And get the inheritance too. I mean, it's
right.
Set up for abuse.
It absolutely is. And imagine the pressure that is being put on then that elderly person who is sick, as you mentioned, might be depressed, is going through one of the lowest points of their life. And now to add on to that, stress and that depression is the fact that there's this potential that a family member, friends, people who stand to inherit are also pressuring this person to say, well, there's this option of assisted suicide that's now legal. Why not take advantage of that? And for people to say that that won't happen is just, I believe, incredibly naive.
Here's another dangerous aspect of it. The appeal that can be made to the elderly or even just people who are sick to get out of the way and not use up all the family's money. Mm-hmm. This is a loving thing to do.
Right.
To just go ahead and end your life and then your grandchildren can go to college. I mean, mm-hmm. You can see how you can manipulate a person very easily, especially one who is not well anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It's really rife for manipulation, for abuse. And obviously, the elderly and those at the very end of their life are the ones who are going to pay the price and pay the ultimate price.
Now, you don't have to be ill or to be older in order to be vulnerable here, because depression itself can cause a person to say, I've had enough of this life, I want to move on.
So technically how the bill is written right now is that you have to be diagnosed with an illness and have less than 6 months to live. But obviously what we know from other states and from just medical, general medical practice, doctors will say that they can't always predict these things accurately. We know many people who have been diagnosed with a terminal illness and have lived far beyond a six-month period. And so I think to tell people now to put it within this terminology of 6 months, we're not sure when somebody will ultimately pass, and doctors get those things wrong. And so to now say we're going to let somebody potentially commit suicide and end their life because a doctor has given them a doctor again who may not know anything about their condition or their history to give them a prescription to kill themselves should really give us pause in Colorado.
Jenny, does the legislation require an emotional evaluation? Is it necessary for somebody who knows something about mental illness or depression to be involved?
No. So what happens is there's two physicians that are involved that have to give the okay before the prescription can be written. And those two physicians are the only ones that determine you have to be mentally capable. So it's any medical professional who writes prescriptions would probably be a better description of who these people are that are involved.
So to be a physician.
Right. What ends up happening then is that once these folks who are making this determination determine that you are mentally capable, they can require that if they feel it's necessary that you get some sort of workup by a psychologist or psychiatrist, but it's not required. And so there's nobody from the mental health aspect of this that is making a determination on mental capability. That's done by the people writing the prescription.
And the standard for that is very, very low.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, these are not people that are trained in any way, shape or form necessarily in psychology, psychiatry. They don't necessarily have the abilities to make that determination. And most doctors will tell you that they don't have the skill set to determine mental capability.
A cardiologist, perhaps?
Right, exactly.
I mean, you mentioned a hand doctor?
A hand surgeon, sure.
In fact, one of those testified.
Yes, one of the doctors that testified in support of this at the state legislature is a retired hand surgeon from Denver.
Mm.
What we do know is that as these laws progress and as they are legal for longer and longer in their states, we do see the results of a slippery slope. And we look to Belgium and the Netherlands to see what happens after 40 years of first starting with physician-assisted suicide in those countries.
I think I read that in Belgium, an individual who was not even a legal adult was sent on to the next world.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, they expanded their law to say that parents could euthanize their children at any age. And so 2 or 3 weeks ago in Belgium, a young minor gentleman was euthanized by his parents. And not much was disclosed about what his illness was, just that his parents didn't want him to suffer. And so they were given the authority by the government to euthanize him.
Jenny, this is very disturbing.
It is.
To me. It really is demeaning to the sanctity of human life, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing dignified or compassionate about giving people the option of assisted suicide to end their life. I mean, when we think about that, when we think that if this legislation were to pass and this were to become legal, we're now saying to the people of Colorado that suicide becomes a medical treatment. And the gravity of that, to me, when I say that, every time I say that, I still I'm a little bit shocked that I even could think that that would be a possibility in Colorado. But that's what we're saying to the people of Colorado. If this becomes legal, suicide becomes a prescription. It becomes a medical treatment for an illness.
Why are you involved in it? You have a law degree. You mm-hmm. could do a lot of things with it. And yet you've chosen to devote yourself to this cause.
I am very passionate about this issue, as are the bishops of Colorado. This is an issue, as you had mentioned before, it truly involves the sanctity and dignity of human life. And our teachings are very clear that life is to be respected and sanctified from conception until natural death. Life is constantly under attack, and we've never seen it more so than with an initiative like this to attack life at its end and to say to people that we want to give you the option of committing suicide as your way to deal with a terminal illness or maybe at some point not even something that's terminal, that this is your option. And I think we live in a state that has an epidemic of suicide already. We are one of the top states for our suicide rates in the country, and we have been consistently for the past several years. And so I think to legalize assisted suicide at the end of life and to say this is an option for people is just wrong. And there's nothing, as I said before, there's nothing dignified or compassionate about offering people that.
There's a direct linkage between abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia. It's all life from conception to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And when you undermine it at one level, you're undermining the entire human experience.
Absolutely. Because it doesn't just end with physician-assisted suicide, as we've seen in other states and other countries where this has become legal. We've seen this experiment play out not only, as I mentioned before, in Belgium and the Netherlands, but in states like Oregon and Washington, where now prescriptions are being written for people who have diabetes or arthritis. How those have become terminal illnesses.
That's where it leads. It is a slippery slope.
It is absolutely the slippery slope. And so I think we can't kid ourselves as to what we would be legalizing if we vote to pass Proposition 106.
Now, there are five states that have legalized it. Is that right?
So yeah, California, Washington, Oregon, Vermont, and then the states of Montana and New Mexico have bad case law that's being sort of disputed right now. But either via ballot or initiative, it's California, Washington, Oregon, and Vermont.
And Colorado is being watched very carefully.
They are.
So this is part of the movement.
Absolutely.
And when Soros and others pour money into Colorado, it's because they really want it in the whole country.
Right.
And this looks like an easy target.
Absolutely.
Why us? Why Colorado?
I think there's several reasons why Colorado. One, Colorado is home base for Compassion and Choices. This is their home, and they want to have a win on their home turf. But also they feel that this is a state that was fairly easy for them to get this initiative on the ballot for people to vote on. And they feel that this is the stepping stone for other states. If Colorado can legalize this, I believe for them, they will see that as momentum. And it will give them the ability to then march into other states and try to legalize this as well.
Are you confident, Jenny? What's your expectation?
This is a very, very much an uphill battle when it comes to this issue. What we know from not only Colorado but other states is that there are many people, including many good Christians, who support assisted suicide because, again, they have this misunderstanding of what it is. And so whenever we're out trying to talk about this issue, it is important that we explain to people what it is because many people feel that this is just why shouldn't this be available? If this helps alleviate somebody's suffering and somebody's pain, why shouldn't we make this available? And so I think trying to explain that to people, once we do explain it to people, people start to come around, but it's getting this message out that is really important.
All right. Give me the most important reason to vote no on Proposition 106?
Oh, the most important reason is because we as Coloradans deserve better, and we know better than to pass an initiative that would allow our loved ones to die by suicide. To say that that's an option for people at the end of their life is just not something that we would want to promote in Colorado. It is in many ways a very uncompassionate, undignified way to die because of the amount of pills that you have to take, the side effects, but also the cost factor in all of this. And I think not making our loved ones or our family members feel as if they are some sort of cost burden on either our families or the state is a really important reason to reject Proposition 106.
To repeat something that we said earlier, guilt is not very far from the surface for an older person who's ill. It's not hard to get them to understand that they have an obligation to their family not to use up the family's resources and to go ahead and die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a reason to make a decision.
No, absolutely not. And for every person that might feel that way, there's also many people. I mean, we know the story of Barbara Wagner in Oregon, who...
No, we don't all know that. I do, but
right.
Tell them.
Let me share the story with you. Barbara was in her early 60s. She lived in Oregon. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And she was living, as she said, a very good life. The drugs that the doctors had given her was allowing her to, as she said in her words, spend time with her grandchildren and her children. And she said she wanted to live. She wasn't ready to die yet. And so she was fighting and doing very well. After Oregon passed their assisted suicide law, Barbara was on a state Medicaid type of plan. And she got a letter from the state of Oregon saying that they would no longer pay for her cancer drugs because they were too expensive, but they would pay for her to get a prescription to kill herself.
That's breathtaking.
It is. It's absolutely stunning and shocking. And to think that, I think of my own family's personal story. My uncle was diagnosed with leukemia 25 years ago. And I remember very vividly going to the hospital and all of us and my cousins being told to say goodbye because we probably wouldn't see our uncle again. And my cousins wouldn't see their dad. And thankfully, my family story has a happy ending. And my uncle is alive today because doctors...
He's still alive.
He's still alive 25 years later. He has got to see his children married. He is excitedly awaiting the birth of his third grandchild. It's really a great story, but it's because doctors told him to fight. It's because he got access to the drugs and medication that he needed to fight his illness. And I think back on that story because I think, what if assisted suicide would have been legal when my uncle was diagnosed? What kind of pressures would my uncle have been under by the state, by medical professionals, by his own doctors to say, listen, the best course of action here is just, you know, end your life. That'll save
everybody.
What
happened to Barbara in Oregon? She was given the option, only one option.
Only one option. And so she actually fought it. She took her story to the media. There's a lot of information out there on the internet about Barbara Wagner and her story. And what came of it was the fact that many other people came out of the woodwork in Oregon to say, we too have gotten this letter. We too have been told that our treatment is too expensive. And so thankfully, Barbara's story also had a good ending because of the exposure she was given. The drug company that made her drugs actually paid for her to get her drugs. But how many people weren't Barbara Wagner?
Mm. Well, our guest today is Dr. Jenny Kraska, and she is with the Colorado Catholic Conference.
Yes.
And is giving her life, really, at this stage to fighting for life in various forms, but especially here with regard to euthanasia. And there's no other word for it. Physician-assisted suicide, all these compassionate terms mask what's actually taking place.
Exactly.
Here's the bottom line, everybody. No on 106. That's the only logical vote from our point of view.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming and for being here and for being passionate about people who are suffering and hurting and people who are being perhaps manipulated and for opposing what is a bad measure. There's a reason why Americans have not until recently been given this option. If it was all that logical, what do they know? What did they know? that we don't know.
Right.
All right.
Well, thank you for having me.
And
I appreciate
God bless you.
Thank you.
In this effort. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and you've been listening to Family Talk. We're a listener-supported broadcast, and we can be reached through our website at drjamesdobson.org, or we're located at 540 Elkton Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907. See you tomorrow.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. You listening on the go? Got something special for you. Download the free smartphone mobile app for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk right now. You can listen to Dr. James Dobson's broadcast anywhere at any time. And you can browse past shows that you might have missed. Go to your app market store and download it for free, or you can go to drjamesdobson.org, drjamesdobson.org, and find out how to sign up for this free app, drjamesdobson.org.